TrainSouth.com. Draft Fest Saturday rolling on here at the Rouse's Market in New Orleans East on Chef Mentor Highway. Team WWL is here hanging out with you till 6 p.m. getting ready for things to wrap up in Pittsburgh at this year's draft. Rouse's Market in New Orleans East at 9701 Chef Mentor Highway.
Well, now that the draft is over for the Saints, and, you know, we're all speculating in free agency in the draft. And, you know, free agency can continue as far as, I'm not talking about college players, but even like NFL players, pros to pros. But, you know, everyone's speculating who that nation, what is Cam Jordan going to be back? Is Alvin Kamara going to be back? Is Taysom Hill going to be back? Now, to me, what just transpired with the draft, I would say the odds, I'd say Alvin Kamara is coming back. I know I want him. Who do you trust with ATN? I don't trust all our other running backs with ATN. So I'm like, no, give me Alvin Kamara, the 1-2 punch there, versus now. I think Taysom Hill, before the draft, during the draft, after the draft, I don't see Taysom Hill. He's going to retire. And we love Taysom Hill. Now, Cam, I still think the jury's out, but I would tend to favor more right now that Alvin Kamara, if you can only choose one, Alvin Kamara or Cam Jordan, I would say Alvin Kamara more than Cam Jordan.
Well, Alvin's got a contract.
Yeah, but I mean that could be where, no, because remember you said they threatened to trade him last year. I'm just going to retire. I'll be drinking pina coladas. Remember when he said that?
Yeah. I think this is going to be up to Alvin. Does he want to come back and play?
Okay.
Does he want to come back and play?
And then you look at Cam. Cam wants to – not being selfish, because Cam's always been a team player that we can hold him accountable because he's always available. Then this is NFL history. He wants to build upon that sack total, you know, and climb up the greatest sackers in NFL history.
Look at here. The Steelers have picked Eli Hendrich, the running back from Navy.
Is that Mr. Irrelevant?
No.
I love this kid. This is like the poor man's version of Taysom Hill. Talk about tough. Now, talk about outstanding citizen. Look how emotional.
And they brought him here to Pittsburgh for this moment.
So they knew this was
something was going to happen.
They had 12 picks.
Yep.
So they knew.
This is like the Steelers God fans bless, would man. Be hollering, USA, USA.
Hey, lest we forget, you know, we should take a second. And there are people, there are troops in action.
Yes.
Right now. So support all of them. God bless.
Mike, every Sunday morning at 4:30, I get that call. Armed Forces Radio Network.
Yeah.
You know, and I think about it, man. Wake up every Sunday morning at 4:30, but I understand what it means to them to hear a little piece of home, if it's about the NFL, if it's about college football. And it got brought up this morning because I had to do a Saturday version of it about Eli Hendrich and him going, and now with the Pittsburgh Steelers.
But we talked about it. I think that my days are getting mixed up,
Wednesday.
Mike, we talked about it, and we didn't know. But you talk about flying them up. This was a perfect day as well, though. Day seven, yeah. You know, it's like you just talked about day seven. Seventh round.
Day three. We're with
but,
you, baby.
But, Bobby, you know you talked about not having to fight for the priority free agents. This was one that's perfect. And so it's like, hey, if you're on the clock, particularly Pittsburgh Steelers, we are going to pick you. We are going to pick you, and you can come and play for us and represent us.
You go in society, public relations, unbelievable.
Not even that. I mean, because look, who did he just hug on the stage?
Goodell.
Goodell doesn't do picks.
He hadn't been back.
Thank you. Goodell doesn't do picks on Friday. He doesn't do picks on today. He didn't do the picks today, but he came back to be a part of this
moment.
He came back to be a part of this.
Yeah, well, he didn't come back and give us a good enough example of the Nolan no call. That son of a gun.
You can tell me.
I almost wore that T-shirt today. Remember we made those clown T-shirts at Roger Goodell? I said,
yes.
No, I'm not going to wear it. They'll probably take my picture of it then. I don't know. Look at Hebert.
What they going to do?
Enjoy the moment here.
I don't know. But let me tell you, if you look at him right now, one of three players the last 70 years, 400-plus rushing yards, look, school records at any position. I'll tell you, it's like a poor man's Taysom Hill. If you look at him, he worked now. Look, Hold on a second.
Okay. We got a player on the line.
TJ Hall,
Iowa cornerback, joining us here on New Orleans Saints Radio, the newest Black and Gold member. TJ, congratulations. How you doing?
Oh, I'm doing great. Blessed, man. Blessed to hear my name called, and grateful to be a New Orleans Saint.
Welcome in. I'm going to be talking with Mike Dettillier, Bobby Hebert, Deuce McAllister, and Mike Hall is going to hand you over to former Saints quarterback Bobby Hebert right now.
You know what, TJ? It seems like you're a football player, and I think the Iowa Hawkeyes, that's one thing I respect, how you win in the trenches, and you ain't no soft player if you play at Iowa. And I always look at that, a high-character competitor, and I'm looking at this day and age. I don't know, how much do you tackle in practice or – you know, whether the linemen, you know, blocking, you've got to be able to block, to run the ball and all that. But excellent tackling fundamentals. That means you got to be a willing tackler when that's attributed to you. And not all DBs are like that, because that's a big part of the game. If that's your responsibility, you have to be able to run support and obviously pass coverage. But it seems like you take pride in that.
Yes, sir. Yeah, I would say I definitely take pride in that, man. Iowa practices, especially on the defensive side, you know, we don't really have anything called a walkthrough. You know, we're always going full speed, hitting no matter what, if it's shells or pads, full contact. So, you know, bringing that physicality and showing it in the game, that's definitely something not only me but our whole team takes pride in.
Hey, this is Deuce McAllister, man. Congratulations and welcome to the New Orleans Saints. I just want to hear from you, what's some of the best attributes you have as a player and some of the things that you feel like that you have to get better at?
Yeah. Man, I think my football IQ is up there. I think my competitiveness, my physicality, my ability to play really anything, any of the positions, and also any type of covers. And then, you know, a little stuff I still want to work on is just, like, trusting my instincts. When I go see how to play, you know, instead of hesitating, man, just go out and jump that that hitch route or something, you know, make the play.
You know, I was looking at that definitely one of your strengths, being a smart football player, that your recognition of passing concepts and that putting you in position correctly when in zone schemes. And to be a smart football player, and with Coach Staley, you can notice that, okay, we're doing zone concepts now, and you have in your head that clock, the quarterback got to throw the ball, so almost it turns into, man, who's in your zone? It seems like you're outstanding in those zone scheme concepts.
Yeah, yes, sir. You know, it also comes with a lot of film prep. You know, I did a lot of hours outside of the team on my own, like almost like extra 2-3 hours a day, just trying to study teams. So, you know, I put a lot of trust in my film preparation. And, you know, when I go out and see something, you know, I like to make a play on the ball and, you know, try to help my team out.
Now, I was looking, how you end up in the middle of nowhere, Des Moines, Iowa, from Fresno. Because not too many California players seems like they're Iowa Hawkeye. How did that happen?
Yeah, man. My dad played for an old Iowa coach, Don Patterson, at Western Illinois. And he hit my dad hit him up during my high school recruiting process. And he gave my film over to the Iowa coaches. And from there, it was a wrap. They reached out to me, did some research on the Iowa Hawkeyes, and ended up in Iowa City.
TJ, how familiar are you with the Saints, their personnel, what they like to do, et cetera?
Yeah, not too much. I know a little bit about the Saints, you know, always watching football and everything, but not too much of scheme-like, so definitely want to get more familiar and of everything they like to do.
Yeah, Mike Dettillier, first of all, congratulations. And watching you at Iowa, always, man, the physicality of the game, and they play such good defense. And did anybody play Indiana better than y'all?
No, I don't think so. You know, I think we gave them one of the toughest matchups of the year. And, you know, I think we really should have came out with that game. But, you know, God had other plans. So, you know, they came out on top. And they're a really good football team, so I give credit to them as well. But no, I think we gave them one of the toughest matchups of the year.
TJ, one of the things I want to ask you, really good open field tackler, but how much special teams work have you done at Iowa?
Yeah, man, one thing at Iowa is we harp on special teams, so I did all the special teams, especially early on was on all four, and then later on into my career, like junior, senior year, it came down to only about punt and punt return.
Now, TJ, looking at that your familiarity with the Saints and the process, that you met with them at the Senior Bowl, is that correct?
Mm-hmm. I believe so. I believe I met with them at the Senior Bowl just a little bit. Didn't do anything too crazy. I believe we went over, like, the defensive install. But, no, it was a great meeting, and I enjoyed it.
So, a great birthday present. Tomorrow's your birthday. So, yes, this is something to celebrate a little early. So a great birthday present, and, joining the Who Dat Nation and the Saints, because, we love football down here. And but we love players who are highly competitive. So happy birthday.
Oh, man, thank you. I really appreciate that.
So, TJ, this is Mike Haas. I do play-by-play with Deuce McAllister. First off, congratulations. Welcome to New Orleans. You're going to love it. And I'm curious, and you don't have to tell me, but what does TJ stand for?
TJ stands for Terrence Devon, my full name.
But you've been TJ for a long time?
Yes, sir. My dad was always Terrence, and I always went by TJ, and, it kind of just stuck, and so I ended up just being TJ.
So my last question, I was just curious, because I don't know what your thoughts were going in, where you thought you might go, as the day gets longer, it's 5:13 now, you got picked a little bit ago. What's the experience been like? I know, anxiety, then you resigned yourself. Well, maybe I'll be an undrafted free agent. Maybe I won't. Who knows? What's it been like?
Yeah, man, it's been a real it's been a long process. Just patiently waiting, hoping that you go a little earlier. But I think I did a good job of just staying calm. Everything will happen for a reason, and I'll be picked where I'm supposed to go. So kind of just stay calm for the most part, and then once I finally got that call, me and everybody around me were super excited and fired up.
So, TJ, I got to ask you, say your name one more time. What does TJ stand for?
Yeah, Terrence Javon Hall Jr.
Javon. So what does your mom call you?
She calls me TJ. Even when they get mad at me, they'll say,
"That's what I was." So that's what I was wondering.
There it is.
I was wondering if she was going to call you
by your full name.
By your full name.
You're in trouble.
Yeah, that's when you know you're in trouble. When she said that full name, that's when you know you're in trouble.
Yeah. No, when usually if she gets mad at my dad, she'll say Terrence. But with me, she'll just keep it at TJ.
and TJ, I brought this up earlier. I was reading where good instincts, reading the quarterback's eyes, can anticipate throws before the breaks. That comes along, I'm sure, like you were saying, with film study. But Saints fans, this is what I think football fans in general love, that your elite run defender with excellent physicality and plays strengths and shows toughness at the catch point competing through the receivers. Because when everyone can play and you're at the NFL level, those contested catches. Well, I'm saying when I saw that, shows toughness at catch point competing through receivers, well, that's a contested pass defendant. And boy, that goes a long way, because now instead of giving up the big catch, that all of a sudden the team got a punt because you had an outstanding pass defendant.
Yes, sir. Yeah, man. That was one of the things I definitely this year I wanted to work on, was being physical at the point of attack and playing the ball in the air. I wanted a lot more picks, but didn't come down with a couple. And so, but as long as the receiver didn't catch it, I was happy.
Well, TJ, thanks for coming on. We appreciate you being part of the Saints organization and the Who Dat Nation. We always say this, when you greet people, you're going to come down to New Orleans, we had Rouse's, the supermarket, a local supermarket, instead of saying, hey, like, good morning and being respectful, if you just address any fan and they're going to recognize you, just tell them Who Dat, they'll give you a Who Dat back, like good morning and stuff like that. So before we let you run, you got to give us a Who Dat with a lot of heart and desire. And the fans will appreciate that you're one of us.
I got you. If I don't do a good one, let me know. I'll redo it. All right. You guys ready?
Okay. Yeah.
Yep.
All right. What is it? Here we go. Who Dat?
Okay, go a little bit more. Okay, just go like
give me a little bass and excitement.
Yeah,
within your
diaphragm, like who that? You know, like something like that.
Like a who that?
Oh yeah, yeah, that was good. That was good. Yeah, that was emphasizing it.
We'll work on it. I got plenty of time to work on it, baby.
Yeah, TJ, very good. Glad to have you on board.
Congratulations, CJ. Man.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it, and I'll keep working on that. Who that?
All right.
Yes, indeed.
Work on cover two. Don't worry about that.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's it.
Iowa corner TJ Hall joining us here on WWL Saints Radio. The 219th overall selection in round 7 for the Black and Gold. We're going to take a break here on our TrainSouth.com DraftFest coverage from the Rouse's Market. We're going to come back with more right after this. Stay tuned on WWL, folks. Who dat? We're back here in our WWL Draft Fest coverage coming from the Rouse's Market in New Orleans East at 9701 Chef Mentor Highway. Been going through all the draft picks for the Black and Gold. They've made 8 selections, and they made even a trade for a player this draft, moving pick number 150 to the Raiders for edge rusher Tyree Williams, and also a 7th round selection that they just turned into Iowa corner TJ Hall.
You know, and I don't think I shared this yet on the radio, and it just goes to show you, like, Saints history. You know, I love all that kind of stuff. I thought this was interesting. Look at Jordan Tyson, and I said how the fans are going to look at that. Because I think if he's available, he's going to be a stud. He'll be the alpha receiver and all that. So you have to be available. I said I'd love to see him have a career and be the Cam Jordan version of the wide receiver. He has that ability where if he's available, he's going to contribute at a high level, not only Pro Bowl, but like all pro type of player. But you look at the Saints and the trust they have in them, it's just the 4th time the Saints have chosen a receiver in the top 10 of a draft. This is what caught my attention. This goes back to Archie Manning. It was the first time since Wes Chandler from the Florida Gators was chosen number 3 overall in 1978. So let me tell you that again. Now you think, oh, we've done that before. That the top 10 in the draft was the first time, top 10 in the draft since Wes Chandler was chosen number 3 overall in 1978. And Wes Chandler did pretty good for us. He made the Pro Bowl receiver and stuff. So I thought that was interesting. Now, as far as him being available, you look at football on the one hand. Football's a violent sport. We all know that. But the fans don't want to hear that. Now, we know it's violent. We know people get hurt, but you just can't have that bad luck with injuries. Somehow, you have to stay healthy. Now, and then when the fans look at it, because we highly educated who that Nation Saints fans. If you look at Jordan Tyson and his injury history, it might be the result of random bad luck. You don't know. He might not never get hurt for a while. But when you look at what's occurred, on the other hand, there's a real chance that Jordan Tyson's dreaded injury prone. He's a dreaded injury prone player. We just have to let it play itself out. And then, you know, when he goes through the evaluation process like he did with the Saints, the medical checkups are crucial. So as much as anything, because the Saints, you got to trust your doctors, any organization, for the Saints to make this kind of commitment where he was picked, oh, no, we think he's going to be all right in the future. Don't worry, he's going to be able to contribute. So when I read that, when he goes through evaluation process, a bunch of different evaluations, the medical checks up are crucial. Not like, oh, you know, it's important. No, it's crucial because you have that investment. Mike, that's why I think he's hell when he's well. Hopefully he's well all the time because I think he'll contribute at the highest level. I think he'll surpass Chris Olave. Nothing against Chris Olave. But again, he got to play.
We had your old buddy Dean Kleinsmith on. And he told a story about...
And Dean Kleinsmith was the old trainer
with the Saints. With the Saints. Almost from day one.
Right. And he went to the Lions, the Washington Redskins. Yeah, all over.
He's been the Senior Bowl
trainer,
guy.
Yeah, forever.
For over 50 years.
Yeah.
So one of the things he said is every regime I worked with, they would come to us about the medicals. If we have a question mark, tell us the truth. Tell us what we got. And he told a story about when Jim Finks and Jim Moore came and said, we got a running back we want to pick, but we need you guys to sign off. And it was on Thurman Thomas. And they both thumbs downed him, basically saying too much looseness in his knee. They would not suggest taking him in round one. He lasted into round two, but the Saints had picked Arnhead.
They picked Craig Hayward, who was very good, but Thurman Thomas is a Pro Football Hall of Famer. Now, Arnhead's son, Cameron, with the Steelers, is going to be a Pro Football Hall of Famer. So it's amazing, but it's like a win-win. But Thurman Thomas, when the Bills were going to four straight Super Bowls, he was a running back. You know, with Jim Kelly.
No, he was one of the best in the business as a runner and a receiver. And so, you know, even in talking to Dr. David Elias, when I found out that Jordan was talking about, he doesn't think the hamstrings is the problem. He thought it was his hip. And when I brought it up, it was brought back to me, Mike, you've had knee replacement surgery. Does your knee hurt you? Does your leg hurt you? No. You know what bothers me today? My hip. You know why? You got to run differently, walk differently.
It's all connected.
And everything is connected. And I'm not playing, football.
You're just trying to walk from point A to point B.
Exactly. And so that they're going to have to figure out that point with if the hip, if that is accurate, and I'm sure he's getting that from a doctor, but just when, you know, Dr. Elias told me, what bothers you today? The hip, because everything's connected and you're walking and your gait and everything is different. And then he had a torn ACL, MCL, PCL. And so it stems from the knee injury.
They go to the hamstring.
And now the hip is bothering him, so you put a strain on the hamstring. So you've got to fix the hip problem. You can get a personal chef. You can get people to tell you what to eat and drink right. All that's great, but you got to figure out how to clear the hip problem.
Yeah, and the thing is, you know, fans might say, and I said this also, like turf toe. Well, it's just your toe. Well, your hamstring. Think about it. You got to be able to run and run fast. So it's like, oh, you can't play through a hamstring? Now it's different grades. No, because then you could pull it worse and then you're out longer. Or your turf toe. Oh, just shoot it up. Okay, you can only do that so many times. And then if you keep pushing on it, you know, you get a walking boot. You can't play in a walking boot. I mean, that can help heal it. So the point being, That you don't want that to be chronic, like a chronic hamstring. That happened at the end of Marshawn Lattimore, the greatest Saints cornerback ever. I've told you all this.
At the end of his career, caught him again.
And that worked out a great benefit to the Saints in that trade because he hasn't really contributed nothing with the Washington
Commanders.
Now he's
a free agent cornerback.
No, yeah.
But the other part, too, is it reminds me of an old Saints coach told me this years ago. In 1970, they picked Ken Burrell, the wide receiver from Texas Southern.
Double zero, huh?
Double zero. Picked him in round one. He had a turf toe injury back then. Man, that artificial turf.
That concrete.
It wasn't too good. He hurts his toe. The coach, J.D. Roberts at that time, says he's not tough. Trade him away. They traded him to the Houston Oilers. He became a big-time guy in the AFC with the Oilers at wide receiver, the last guy to wear that double zero in the night. But, man, he could play. But the turf toe caught him in year one, and the thing was, man, you ain't tough enough to go through that. They didn't know enough at that time.
Yeah, they didn't know enough. They were like too hard-headed and too stupid to realize how significant that injury is. Like, I played with Deion Sanders. No, when he was at the Ravens, he ended up having to get his big toe cut off.
Just think of that.
Because of that. No, it was that bad. No, you got to be able to run. And if you can't run, I mean, come on. A hamstring, a toe and all that. But I just hope, and I think he does. I know the Saints, they're on top. They do a great job interviewing the players. I hope that Jordan Tyson loves football. And what I mean by that,
he does love football.
Because some people, I think he got a great personality. You know, he's an extrovert. He talks to people, communicates. You don't seem like a prima donna. You know, Lattimore was like pulling teeth trying to talk to him. You remember that?
Yeah.
Well, Jordan Tyson don't
but
seem like that.
But when he did talk, I thought he gave good bites.
Yeah, but he just didn't
want to. But he
want
didn't to want to.
Yeah. Right. Well, Tyson is just being respectful. And because there's a lot of players, I'm telling you, They like football, but they love the lifestyle. And what I mean by that, man, look at all the money I'm getting paid. But you want Tyson to be like, okay, the money is naturally going to come if you're on the field and then you have that second contract. So hopefully Jordan Tyson, I think he does, that he loves football and takes care of his body the best he can because, no, this is his livelihood. You can have all the ability in the world, but who takes care of their body better than LeBron James? LeBron James, 41 years old, can hang with any 20-year-old. What? You see, look, what? You want to talk about like a pro's pro.
Why I think it matters to him? Hines Ward came out and endorsed him. Man, Hines didn't have to do it, but he did it.
Hines Ward might be the best blocking receiver in NFL history. You know, a good possession receiver with the Steelers. But, no, you got to want to, like, a run block as a receiver. Man, I go off for routes. I don't block nobody. No. Kellen Moore, when he was doing the run game, that could be the difference, an 8-10-yard gain, or you take it to the house, or 20-plus gain by the receiver blocking. So if he's coached behind Hines Ward, yeah, I think Jordan Tice would have no problem run blocking. I think he'll understand to be that complete receiver. He has to do that.
TrainSouth.com Draft Fest coverage here at the Rouses Market in New Orleans East. We'll be back with even more. Stay tuned, folks, right after this on WWL Saints Radio. Back here on our TrainSouth.com Draft Fest coverage. The seventh round still wrapping up here. We are on now pick number 245 out of 257.
So we know this. Sean Payton is going to have Mr. Irrelevant and Mr. Irrelevant before. He's got the last two picks.
Two irrelevant.
He's got Mr. He's got in case Mr. Irrelevant can't fulfill his duties as Mr. Irrelevant, he's the first runner up, Mr. Irrelevant.
Man, well, if I'm in the seventh round and I get picked, that's where I want to go. I agree with you, Bob.
If I'm not a free agent,
and they're picking right now, they're on the clock. He's got three picks.
Okay, if I'm not a free agent and I can't pick where I want to go, and I'm going in the seventh round, make me Mr. Irrelevant.
Michael, man, they treat you good.
Yeah, all the events you get to go to.
Brock Purdy.
Yeah, no, Brock Purdy, but who was the Louisiana guy?
Jefferson. Norman Jefferson was one of them.
It wasn't that Stokely, wasn't it? No. I'm trying to think. Somebody was Mr. Irrelevant maybe from Louisiana. I don't know why I'm having that on the brain. It wasn't Besh, huh? No.
Brett Besh?
No, I don't know. I'm just trying to think. Mike, look and see who's like the Mr. Irrelevant.
I spent half my life Googling stuff.
He's going to catch it.
That's a big time thing. How they
treat
you?
It's a parade, man. You get a they treat you unbelievable.
No, it's almost like where you go. I'm going to Disney World, Mr.
Irrelevant. They actually do the commercial.
No, so if you're going in the seventh round.
Yeah, the Brock Purdy changed.
Oh, yeah. No. He's the poster child. Trey Quinn from Louisiana?
Trey Quinn, Washington Redskins at the time, 2018. Played at LSU. Yep. Was a receiver at Barb High School.
Yes, he was.
I think that's what I'm thinking of, that Louisiana connection.
Is Norman Jefferson on that list?
How far back are you going with that, Mike?
I just said, was Mr. Irrelevant ever from Louisiana?
It was Trey Quinn.
Let me check.
Norman Jefferson.
But Trey Quinn, that's what I was thinking. I know it was some Louisiana. Yeah. But when you look at Brock Purdy is the franchise quarterback for the 49ers. The 49ers got to get better players around him and stay healthy. Brock Purdy is a Super Bowl potentially winning quarterback. And then the NFC West with Seattle and the Rams. Talk about competition.
I always tell this to Jake DeLome. Okay, you got to be an undrafted free agent. All that was great and fun. But just think if you'd have been Mr. Irrelevant, huh?
1987.
Norman Jefferson.
Norman Jefferson Jr. played college football for the LSU Tigers.
Yep. So we had two. Yeah.
Born in Marrero, went to John Arrett High School.
So, yeah, so we got some.
Got a couple.
Mr. Irrelevant.
Got a couple.
But, yeah, so going back, Brock Purdy, I don't think that will ever happen again. In the history, we'll all be dead.
I don't know, Bob.
Did Mr. Irrelevant be as good as Brock Purdy? Mike, and Brock Purdy got paid. The 49ers paid him.
What? Now, so, he'll be the highest paid.
Oh, yeah.
Irrelevant.
Yeah, that no, look at how efficient and the poor Cardinals. Look how efficient NFC West the quarterbacks. You got the MVP and maybe potential Sam Darnold winning quarterback MVP. And then you got Brock Purdy. And the Cardinals are like, I don't know, who do we have?
Jacoby Brissett.
Yeah. So
the one thing I give Jacoby though, Bob, he got paid.
Oh yeah, yeah, and he wants to get paid a little more now because he's the man.
And he's saying, "Hey, wait a minute.
Yeah.
If y'all want me to be the starter, Colin pay Murray's me like
gone.
A starter now."
Right, and then that's a great opportunity. He's landing in the right spot. Ty Simpson going to the Rams. Your boy from the Canes was at Georgia. Who they drafted?
Carson Beck.
Carson Beck, Mike. That's a great opportunity for him with the Cardinals. I mean, come on, you could be the man. So now, I need a tough division, you know, in the NFC West. But I think that's a great position. Now, where did the Penn State quarterback, Mike, where did he end up going?
Drew Aller.
Drew Aller, yeah, yeah. Actually, I think, went to Pittsburgh.
Yeah. You think Aaron Rodgers is afraid of him? No.
What?
Aaron Rodgers, still, it'd be interesting to see. I think he's going to play. You know, he does what he wants. I think.
I'll be honest with you.
Because, you know, last year, though, Aaron Rodgers had his best season the last five seasons. That's why I think he's going to play again.
Even if they would have had Fernando Mendoza, Aaron Rodgers would have said, "What? That dude can't play as well as me."
Even though I'm an old man.
There's no way he would have accepted that. And so, yeah.
Well, the Saints, we're going to see him. Again, we play. We're talking about the NFC North, AFC North. It'd be interesting to see who's behind.
We're going to see a lot of these cats on draft day. A lot of the new coaches.
Joe Burrow.
Eight of the ten. And you're going to see a lot of these guys that were drafted in the top 10.
Now, the only thing I heard why, you know, Promise and Hosh, you've been the most optimistic about our final record.
10-6-1.
Which is good.
10-6.
That, I always say, well, you got to take care and bring back the don't feel advantage and win at home.
Yes.
And be 500 on the road. I think we got to be better than 500 on the road. You know why? Out of all our road games, I heard this, that out of all the Saints road games, we're only playing one team that was in the playoffs. All of our road games, Hoss, you can look that up. So we got to win on that. We got to be better than 500 on the road this year. You understand what I'm saying? See, we're going to get to 10 wins like Hoss wants. It's not like, oh, we got to play the Seahawks on the road again. Hello, we ain't winning that. Are we going to L.A. to play the Rams? We ain't winning that.
No. One of our home games, too, this year is going to be in France.
Yeah. Oh, but the Brown thing, is it the Browns?
It is the Browns.
Okay.
Week 8.
Now, I'm going to tell you, you don't worry about the Browns, though. Shuck better be on his A game. The Browns can play defense. That's what you better pack a lunch.
You know what I want to see the matchup? Kelvin Banks Jr. going up against Myles Garrett.
Now, you can't help him all the time. I think sometimes you might still have to help him against Myles Garrett.
Yeah.
I
got to give Ian Ozan a little bit of a shout out here. He says, Mike, also in 2000, Michael Green from Northwestern State.
Yes,
was
defensive
Mr.
back.
Irrelevant.
Yeah, but I think he's a Texas kid, and he went to Northwestern DB with the Houston Texans, I think, Mike.
I think so. But so, man, there's a little history there.
No, for Northwestern, you look at the history of NFL players, not as of late. Northwest Louisiana, we've had a lot always skilled people. Not linemen, the only big lineman, Petey Payroll. Remember Petey Payroll? He started off with the Eagles and Dick Vermeil in the Super Bowl in New Orleans against the Raiders. Petey told me that Dick Vermeil never knew his name. He just called him Gumbo. Hey, Gumbo. And he started off at guard in the Super Bowl. They lost to the Raiders in New Orleans. But he's probably like the only lineman. Gary Reasons, top linebacker, won two Super Bowls with the Giants.
Just think
but
of
we've
that.
We've had a lot of skill people, like DBs, I'd say number one, like receivers. Yeah.
Just think of that team you were on with Gary, with you, Joe Delaney.
Duper.
Mark Duper.
Reasons.
I said Reasons.
Yeah, okay, so there's four of us, yeah.
There's no way y'all stay 4 years at Northwestern State in today's world.
No, they're the Patriots. We'd have been going to like TCU or something.
Ding, ding, ding. Yeah. LSU quarterback Garrett Nussmeier has been selected 249th overall, going to the Kansas City Chiefs.
Oh, whoa.
Listen, that's not a pretty good spot.
Right. Wait, he's got. That's where Jake Haener is. That's going to be quite, you know.
Jake Haener?
Did he go to Kansas City?
Yeah. But I'm cheering for Nussmeier over Haener.
I was teasing, man. Come on.
No, I look at Haener. I don't know. I
Haener's family. They're good people.
No, but I still cannot get
and
over
Jake's
it.
A good dude.
Jake's a good dude. He had told me, I'm going to make you proud wearing number 3. I said, okay, I'm all for you. But the one thing I remember about Jake Haener – And Steve, no, they'd have in the roster that he's like 6'1".
What?
There's no way. I'll go to my fudge in the roster and like how
we
much you weigh.
We were at a post-practice press conference, and Bobby was on the level ground, and Jake was on the step.
And I was still taller than him. And I was like, well, I said, no,
he's
look
still at, looking up at him.
Yeah, I said, no, look at this. They have him at 6'1". There's no way. He fudged that.
He was the smallest quarterback I've seen in a sanctuary. Ed Hargett, if this is back late 60s, 70s, came out of Texas A&M. And Ed admitted later he was like 5'10¾".
Now, what I like about Jake Haener, he is a competitor.
Very much.
And he was smart. You see him in practice. He looks like he belongs. All right.
Enough. How about this? So this is what we talked about with Garrett. If you can't choose, go to a place that's going to be good.
Oh, without a doubt.
Really good.
Andy Reid, he fell into a tough 7th round. I'm sure it's been brutal.
It's brutal.
Because Doug's with him.
Right. The only better team would be having a brain fart. The quarterback from Alabama going to the Rams and his situation. Ty Simpson's the only one, I think, in a better situation
than
him.
Ty Simpson goes first round. Garrett Harris, there he is. There's Doug.
Yeah.
And, man, that's been a long day.
Oh, look at that. Look at that.
Where are they? In Materi? Where are they?
They're in Metairie, Louisiana.
I love to hear what the commentators say.
But, man, I'm glad for him. A tough guy. Been through a lot over
what
the
dog?
Last year.
I never saw a dog.
You know what Garen Nussmeier and Coach Nussmeier and I have in common? Garrett's mom's an A-Bear. You know that, Hoss? From Lake Charles, Garrett's mom's an A-Bear.
Really? I don't know. A lot of tears in that room,
so,
baby.
So when he came in, did the interview, and he left, he was like, where's Bobby? I was like, I hear him downstairs.
Well, there you go, folks. Garrett Nussmeier, LSU quarterback, finally comes off the board. 33rd pick in round 7, 249th overall. We're going to take a break here on our NFL draft coverage. Draft Fest, TrainSouth.com. At the Rouse's Market in New Orleans East.
Hey, so, Mike, you said you want him to address that surgery decision.
I would go get that done next week.
Because he can get that done now because with Andy Reid and Mahomes. That'd be interesting to see when Mahomes is going to be ready next year.
Putting on that Kansas City cap, I see with the Nussmeier household. We're going to come back with more of our show right after this on WWL. Stay tuned. Welcome back into our TrainSouth.com Draft Fest Saturday coverage. Day 3 of the draft wrapping up. We are on pick 252 in round 7. They will conclude at 257, so getting closer to the end and waiting on the final post-press conference from the New Orleans Saints from the media room that we'll be carrying. Looking at the Saints draft class, first round, Arizona State wide receiver Jordan Tyson was the Saints' first pick. After that, in the second round, they land Georgia defensive tackle Christian Miller. Went back-to-back Bulldogs. Tight end Oscar Delp is the third round selection. Then on day 3 picks all today, Auburn guard Jeremiah Wright, North Dakota State wide receiver Bryce Lance, Ohio State safety Lorenzo Styles Jr., LSU wide receiver Barry and Brown, and Iowa corner TJ Hall. They also traded pick number 50 with the Raiders for that 7th round pick, and they ended up also getting edge Tyree Wilson in the deal as well. So that's the Black and Gold's 2026 draft class. We just saw now, too, the Philadelphia Eagles have back-to-back picks in the 7th round here, taking Uar Bernard from International.
From Nigeria. That is a big son of a gun. And I tell you what, you have to trust the Eagles on what they do. Who's their starting tackle, Steve? I was reading this right now. I can't think of his name right now. Pull it up what you just had about the tackle. Who's an international player who's been outstanding for the Eagles.
Maliata.
Yes, yeah. Come on. That's why you got to trust the Eagles. If you look at this guy, Bernard's a defensive line prospect, same international player pathway that produced Eagles offensive tackle Jaron Mulata. So If he turns into that, and you're an Eagles fan, you got to trust that.
Yeah, what's funny here, you see Bernard has not played organized football.
No, but did you see the physical specimen he is?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
he, 6'4", 306, and just yoked, as you like to say.
Yoke, I like his bone structure. Look at him. Look at him. He looks like a warrior. I mean, look at his cheeks. He looks like a man's man. He looks pretty studly. Yeah, I mean, and look at his measurables. I mean, he's basically 6'5", and oh, they just took it off. I was reading it.
Even this breakdown even calls him one of the rarest of physical specimens.
Yeah, so he's truly like a virgin learning the game football. And so you know what's good about that, the international players? When you're trying to develop, this is what the NFL is smart about. It don't count against the active roster.
Right.
So when you make all your cuts, you could still keep him around. And, you know,
stash.
Yeah, they don't really count. They're on the team developing and practicing all, but they don't count. It's like a little lanyard, but a little extra.
Your favorite, a guy with three names going to the Philadelphia Eagles as well. Edge, Keyshawn James, newbie from New Mexico, pick number 252. We got five more left in the seventh round, and the draft is over.
Yeah, New Mexico Lobo, he was first team all Mountain West. Yeah, he's going to be good. He has three names. Keyshawn James, newbie, New Mexico Lobo. Yeah, he'll do well. He was an edge guy at New Mexico. Look at this. He was third in the FBS behind Reuben Bain Jr. and David Bailey as far as, like, they're looking like pressures and sacks. So 9 sacks and 15 tackles for a loss. So, yeah, the production was there, the New Mexico Lobo.
Looking here, too, we just mentioned that Garrett Nussmeier finally heard his name called. He'll be going to the Kansas City Chiefs. Not too bad of a destination. The rest of the LSU players taken in this draft, there were 7 total. Mansoor Delane went to the Chiefs. A.J. Halsey to the Colts. Xavion Thomas, the Bears. The Bucks selecting Bauer Sharp. Falcons getting Harold Perkins Jr. And then Garrett Nussmeier just to the Chiefs. And obviously, too, the Saints had Barry and Brown in the mix.
Well, it seems like every draft you always have that NFC South connection and SEC connection. And now, you know, Delane's going to the Chiefs. But look at, like, okay, Byer Sharp going to play to the Buccaneers. Harold Perkins Jr. is going to the Dirty Birds. And then we have, back-to-back, a couple
Georgia
of Georgia Flares.
Right.
Yeah, so it always seems like even that same college fan base that might be cheering for you now is kind of against you. You know, so it's all about competition, and we all for that. His name slipped my mind. Who's the awesome double-digit year center from LSU with the Falcons?
Tom McClure.
Todd, I keep forgetting his name. I know Todd. Todd McClure. So, yeah, here he is. You know, LSU, everybody's cheering for him. And then all of a sudden, he's playing a long time for the Dirty Birds. He's so, you see that Georgia players playing for the Saints. You got LSU players going to the Bucks, going to the Falcons. So, that's all in good light and good spirit, because it seems like you always see that every year. You're going to have that. How they're familiar with SEC players, and then obviously the proximity, Atlanta.
Because you played the best.
Yeah.
I don't care if you had Georgia or LSU, you played the best.
Right.
And you always talk about this, the talent in the Georgia high school ranks.
Yeah.
We brag about it here in per capita. It really is at the tip top. But look, the people that they have in Georgia.
Okay, in Atlanta, they got almost 7 million people. In Louisiana, the whole state, we got 4.4 million? Just Gwinnett County. You know, they have counties instead of parishes. Gwinnett County is like it's almost its own state. I'm just telling you, I was in Georgia like 15 years. And, like, I look at Arnett's kid, Cameron Hayward at Peachtree Ridge. Remember the Nickelback we had? He went to Ohio State, Roby.
Wait.
Yeah. You remember? I've seen him play in high school. No, there's per capita, no, Louisiana, Mississippi, number one. If you look per capita, now everybody say, Bob, what do you mean we have the most NFL players? No, we don't have as many as California, Texas, or Florida. I have to buy per capita. If you look at the number of male individuals in Florida, Louisiana, Mississippi, it's unbelievable. And then you break it down to the River Parish. Like when Ed Reed's all days, I'm like, I don't know if it's still, you would know more if that's still
going on. They got a ton of players.
If that's still going on. Oh. Yeah, if you look at that River Parish region, how many, like, stud football players, I'm not talking about stud high school, that eventually go on and be NFL players. And, again, like.
You got one of the greatest receivers in the NFL today. And Mr. Jefferson.
Yeah, Justin Jefferson. But California, yeah, California, Texas, Florida, they should have a lot of players because they have a lot of people. But Louisiana, what we produce is unbelievable.
Bob, I was talking to a guy. He's a history professor. He's up in age now, but he brings this up. He is writing a book, and I will get him on when he's finished. He tells me that in doing the research, what changed the South, you know, after post-World War II, air conditioning, that people were leaving the South to go west and north, so hot during the summertime. Air conditioning changed the world. And he's got like four or five chapters telling you all these companies that had left the South. Now AC comes in, the interstate road program under President Eisenhower.
Yeah.
All that changed the world for the South. And think about what it did for Atlanta. Was Atlanta the with that big hub like it is today?
In the late 60s, when they both came into the NFL, Atlanta, New Orleans was big.